Right, let's move on to a lighter topic, and we're talking about fine dining this afternoon, because for many people, a restaurant having a Michelin star is considered the pinnacle of fine dining, isn't it? And did you know that there's not one Michelin-rated restaurant on the continent of Africa, because it's simply not covered by Michelin inspectors? And now there's been a backlash against the entire Michelin system itself, particularly after one of the top restaurants in France, Auberge Dupont, that was run by Paul Bocuse, a very famous chef who died about 2 years ago, but it lost one of its three stars after having three stars for 55 years. And now other chefs are starting to turn away their stars, kind of saying, not many of them, but some of them, saying that the entire system is antiquated. So let's talk about it. Obviously, for Africa, I'd also like to know why they don't come to the continent of Africa. So I'm joined on the line by celebrity chef, one of South Africa's most acclaimed chefs, Pete Goffwood. Pete, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, Mel, how's it going to week? I'm your listeners.
How do you feel about the fact that Michelin doesn't come to the continent of Africa, or do you care?
Well, I do care, but to them it's just a business decision. You know, they're about selling guides. That's what their model is. They're a food guide company, and they sell units of and they sell books. And the problem with Africa and South Africa is that the market is not large enough in terms of restaurant going public to sustain producing a guide here. It's not a case of whether or not the standard is good enough. It's whether or not there are enough people to buy the guide. I mean, if you look at their model as they rolled out over the rest of the world, you know, there's only a Michelin guide in Tokyo. There's not one in Japan. You know, the same in the States. There's Michelin guide in New York and Los Angeles, but it isn't for the entire States. They roll it out where they can sell the books.
And not enough people, I think, know that. I mean, this restaurant losing its Michelin star, do you think that's a catalyst for a backlash for how the whole system works?
I don't think so. You know, look, I think some restaurants, like Paul Bocuse restaurant, has had the three Michelin star for 50 years, but that in and of itself doesn't guarantee that it maintains it. It still has to maintain the standards. And if it's not maintaining the standards 2 years after the maestro has gone, well, maybe that's the case. I don't think that at the end of the day, the Michelin star is for the restaurant, not for the chef. And so if the establishment itself is not as good as it used to be, then you run the risk of losing a star. That's the nature of any guide.
Do you think that as times change and people perhaps move away from the criteria for a great restaurant being that pinnacle of fine, you know, that fine dining experience, that there should be another kind of criteria, another system that rates restaurants around the world?
I think that's always difficult because, you've got, you know, what are you comparing it with? I think the Michelin guide works because there's also, you know, the top that we're talking about, the pinnacle, the three stars. These are you know, small restaurants that have attention to detail at 50 stone for every diner, that kind of nonsense. Those things are very difficult in this day and age to maintain, and I think that style of dining is slowly but surely falling by the wayside because people just can't afford to eat in these kind of restaurants anymore. So I think the nature of the restaurant experience is changing, but I still think that the Michelin guide is relevant because, you know, for most chefs to get one star is fantastic. That's all about the food. You know, when you start to get two and three stars, it starts to largely also become about star size of wine lists, you know, selection of crystal, and that kind of stuff. So there are certain levels you have to achieve service-wise in order to get to two and three stars, and the food must be fantastic. So sometimes just one star is enough because that's just about the food. So there's a lot more places now. There's a couple of places in Singapore and in Tokyo that are actually sort of street market kind of places that have one Michelin star for the food. So I think the guide is changing along with the times.
But where does African cuisine then fit into that? And when I say African cuisine, I mean, that's a very wide-ranging thing to say. Where do we kind of fit in?
Well, again, as I said, you know, if you think of the restaurant going public in South Africa, what, maybe a million people? that eat in top-notch restaurants. It's not enough throughout a country, if it's a million. It's not enough to maintain a diet if you compare the number of people who eat out in Sydney or eat out in London. I think that's the difference. I don't think there's a problem with the standardized restaurant. I would say that in South Africa alone, we probably have at least 10 restaurants worthy of a Michelin star. So I would say if the guy did come here, there would certainly be a good smattering of restaurants that would call on a star. No question about that. I mean, we have two South African chefs already who have a Michelin stars, or their restaurants have Michelin stars. So it's not about whether or not the South Africans are good enough. There's no question we are.
What kind of criteria do you chefs amongst yourselves? What's kind of the standard? Is it the Eat Out Awards or something like that? I mean, how do you rate each other?
The Eat Out is probably a great example. But then you'll find that the Eat Out has detractors, but it's probably the best system that we have in South Africa for grading or criticizing restaurants or putting restaurants in a top 10 or a top 20. It's probably the best system that we have in terms of the way they go about doing their judging. So, all of these systems are fallible. But take Eat Out, for example. Eat Out have four anonymous judges, and each four of those judges visit the restaurants on their list independently. So each restaurant that gets nominated or appears on the list will have been visited by four different judges at different times. And I think that's as fair as you can get, really.
And is it representative enough when you think about the kind of places that are springing up, not necessarily in the CBD, and the chefs that are coming through now?
Look, I think it's top-end food. If you're looking at the list that it puts together as their top 20, these are the best restaurants in the country. The guys and the guys, I mean men and women who are pushing the boundaries of cuisine in this country, are they better restaurants? Are they better restaurants? Do you have as good a meal in your local Italian that's run by mom and pop? But there isn't too much detail. So it's different. It's different experience. It's different horses for courses. But if you want to put together what the best is, they're judged by their peers, and most chefs and restaurateurs in this country value something along the lines of Eat Out, because it helps to establish some kind of pecking order. People can see where they fit in the general scheme of things.
I'm going to have to leave it there, Pete. Unfortunately, the line is not great. Pete Goffwood, of course, one of South Africa's top chefs.